John chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 14 verses. Chapter 1, beginning verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we're going to speak today on the subject of the coming of the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for sending your son to us. And we just pray you help us to see him as the truth that sets us free. Help us to receive him so that our lives might be changed. Just bless your word and bless our understanding of it, Lord, and work in our hearts this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And since the beginning of this year, our focus has been on the principle from the Bible that the truth shall make us free. And thus far, we recognize three things. First, the devil wants to keep us in bondage to sin, he does all that he can to attack and discredit the truth so that we will not turn to it. Secondly, we've recognized that because we often don't want to be confronted with the truth, we too readily accept the devil's lies and join in on his assault on the truth. And thirdly, we've seen that because of God's great love for us, and because he so wants us to be free, God always has a response. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now, the last 2 weeks, we've been considering two prophetic passages in Isaiah which speak to this third point. And while their application of their truth can be made to many points in history, including our own, we want to recognize their ultimate fulfillment to have come by the coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to this earth. And furthermore, while we've been speaking of the truth primarily in terms of being facts and information which accurately reflect the reality, and more specifically the spiritual reality in which we live, it is important for us to all recognize that the truth ultimately is and is found in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus declares, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." He isn't just declaring himself to be the carrier of the truth, even though that would certainly be true. We understand that he is declaring himself to be the truth. And we see this reflected in John chapter 8 as well. That verse 32 is really kind of our key verse in this whole series, where Jesus said to them that if you shall continue my word, you shall be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But then we see the verses following. They answered him, "Ye be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." So we see here that he's laying this out. You know the truth shall make you free. But we see that those who are listening struggle to understand what he was saying. So to further explain it, he doesn't just repeat that the truth shall make you free. He says the Son shall make you free, speaking of himself. And so we recognize that the truth and the Son are one and the same. Indeed, as we dive further into the meaning and connotation of the words used in the Greek language, In verse 32, we find that the word know there is not used in the sense of just knowing facts or information. Its connotation is in knowing a person. And we can know the truth because He is a person. That person is Jesus Christ. And so, for today, we want to spend some time looking into this first chapter of the Gospel of John and recognize the coming of the truth to this world in the person of Jesus Christ. And as well, we want to consider the response from us that the coming of the truth naturally precipitates. When Jesus Christ, the truth, came a little over 2,000 years ago, we shall see that the coming of the truth evoked a twofold response in those He came to. Some accepted and embraced Him as the truth, and their lives were changed forever as a result. Others rejected and refused to accept Him as the truth, and we see they also underwent a great change, but it was for the worse. And while it's been over 2,000 years since Jesus Christ, the truth that sets us free, came to this earth, this principle holds true to this day, as each person hears the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There comes a time in each of our lives where a loving God will confront us with the truth that we need to hear, the truth of His Son, the truth that will set us free. And a response to that truth is needed from each and every one of us. Will we accept the truth? Will we embrace the truth? Will we allow the truth to set us free and forever change our lives for the better? Or will we refuse and reject the truth and by our refusal choose to continue on our path of self-deception and self-destruction? What we have here in John chapter 1 is a testimony of one who knew the truth more deeply and more personally than anyone else who has ever lived. We see his testimony in his first epistle, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, where he says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full." And so John, along with the other apostles, he knew and saw the man called Jesus of Nazareth. And they all soon recognized him to be more than just a man. They recognized him to be God come in the flesh, the Messiah they'd all been waiting for, the Savior that they all needed. And because of his encounter with the one who is the truth, the desire of John's heart was to share the truth of him with all that he could. And that's why we see that he wrote the Gospel of John. Why, as well, he wrote the Epistles of John. That's his burden. He wanted to share it. And God used that burden and through his inspiration provided these books of the Bible to us. And he wanted to share them with us. He wanted anybody that reads it, what he wrote, including us today, to enjoy the same fellowship with Jesus Christ, the truth that he did, and that we as well would experience the fullness of joy that comes by accepting Jesus as the truth. That this is something he experienced himself. He wants us to experience the same and enjoy the same blessings that he enjoyed. And so, we see here in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John that John shares with us the reality of who Jesus was and is and ever will be. And we recognize that really it is so much nowadays the identity of Jesus that is so much under attack, that people try to claim that they have really been discovering and uncovering the historical Jesus, the person that he truly was, devoid of all these things, these superstitions and other things that his disciples believed in. And really the whole thought of it is turning it on its head. You're denying the eyewitness accounts of people who were close to him who lived at that time, and instead trying to accept people that lived 2,000 years a day, trying to look back and that are rejecting most of that evidence that's been given. But we see that he's showing Jesus for who he is, and he recognizes that for us it's going to be hard for us to understand, hard for us to accept all that is true about this person named Jesus. So as led of the Holy Spirit, we find John doing all that he can to explain Jesus to us, explain the truth to us using concepts that we can grasp. We see, first of all, that he speaks of Jesus as the Word that we need to hear. Verse 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We live in an age today in which we have information overload. You think of it, that we have so many voices speaking, and so many are speaking in contradiction to one another, that it's hard to know who to trust, who to listen to, that there's much confusion. We think back to the days of the Tower of Babel, and just the confusion that there was, and just how much that is present today in so many different ways. We can go on the internet and we can find a multitude of articles to read that will confirm any philosophy or viewpoint or position that we might choose to hold, no matter how far it may be from reality. We can now choose to listen to whoever tells us what we want to hear, whatever makes us feel good about ourselves, whatever convinces us that we're on the right track in life and don't need to make any changes. And we often tune ourselves to hear the word on the street, whatever the consensus of public opinion is, or sometimes whatever we're told is the consensus of public opinion. But with all these different voices, what we need to hear is the word from heaven. We need it for a moment to shut out all those other voices and hear what this word is. There's something that God is seeking to communicate to us. And really we can recognize that the devil is trying to keep us from the truth. He is the author of confusion. He's trying to drown it out. He's trying to have so much noise in this world that people cannot hear the still small voice of God. But we want to understand there is this word from God. He's seeking to communicate from us. And he communicates not just with the written word or the spoken word. He communicates with a person, his son that he is sending down to this world. And so it's a thought. Why should we hear this word? We recognize because it is from heaven, and because the word is a person. And that person is God Himself, our Creator. He says, "The Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." That we recognize that this one, this Word, this one whom God has sent to communicate to us, He is our Creator. He is the one who has given us life. He is the one by whom all things consist. All things were created by Him and for Him. And of course, sadly today, many deny that there is a God. Many deny that we are created by God. Many deny that Jesus was God. But man's skepticism has not and will never trump reality. There is a God that created us. There is a God who loves us. There is a God who loves us enough to tell us the truth that we need to hear, no matter how much we may not want to hear. He wants to help us. He sees how the God of this world has sought to blind our minds, lest the light of the gospel should shine unto us. And He wants to break through that darkness. He wants to help us to see. He sees us in bondage, and He wants to send to us the truth that will set us free. So we see that He is the Word. He is our Creator. But as well, we see John declare in verse 4 that Jesus is life. It says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." That being God, He is the giver of life. He is the source of all life. He came to this earth so that we could all have life. abundant life and eternal life. We read in John 10, verse 10, where he says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." We read as well in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, where it says, "This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." That Jesus is the Word of life. He is the Word of life that we need to hear, if for no other reason to get a true understanding of the life that He offers, a life that we know nothing of apart from Him. That He is the life that we can live. But too often, you think about it today, that we're deceived. Many are deceived in pursuing the pleasures of sin, thinking that they're living the life, that they're living the dream. But such an existence all too soon reveals itself for the nightmare that it is. And those who pursue it find themselves not to be alive, full of life. Instead, they find themselves to be dead men walking, pursuing vanity, reaping corruption and self-destruction. That the Word of life, the Lord Jesus, offers something so much better for us all. And for that reason alone, we should be willing to hear what He has to offer to us. But fourthly, in verse 4 to 9, we see that John declares Jesus to be the true light. He says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There is a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness to bear witness to the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." And you think about it, too often in history we see moments in which mankind convinces itself that he is enlightened, that he has a knowledge and wisdom that surpasses any previous generation and has so many wonderful ideas that when implemented will transform society into utopia, into heaven on earth. And we see that in our society today with the progressive movement, which is so certain of its wisdom and justice that it must shame, cancel, and silence anyone who might dare to question it and try to impede the progress they're bringing to society. But the truth is that many of these great new ideas are actually old, tired, failed philosophies which have failed again and again and which have led to dystopian nightmares, not utopian dreams. And as we saw in our look into Romans chapter 1, too often man becomes blinded by his pride, becomes vain in his imaginations, and while having convinced himself of his own enlightenment, his own wisdom, what happens instead is that he is engulfed in darkness, that he has been deceived. He has been leaning on his own understanding. He has found a way that seems right, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Time after time in history, we see this pattern repeating itself, where empires and nations pursue policies that prove to be their undoing and lead to great suffering among their people. And it's high time that we cease to rely upon and boast in the wisdom of man and instead humbly seek that wisdom that comes from above. And thus do we need to recognize Jesus as the true light, the one who can bring us out of darkness into light. And we see the picture that's given, that the light shineth in darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. It's kind of the thing, you think of it, that when we wake up first thing in the morning, what is always the hard thing for us when someone turns the light on and our eyes hurt and we don't want to open them? It takes time to adjust to the light, that we don't like that, right? And you can imagine if we spent a long time, say if someone was working down in the mine or something and the power had gone out, they've been there a long time and finally getting forth to the light of how they would react against the light. But the thing is the light is what we need, right? The light is what we need to walk in. We don't want to stumble around in the darkness anymore. And even though we don't comprehend it initially, even though sometimes we react against it, we need to realize this is what I need. This is what's going to help me. And we see what Jesus himself declared of himself in John chapter 8 and verse 12. He said, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, I am the light of the world. he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And it's the thing is that we want to come to him so that we don't have to walk in darkness. We don't have to stumble around in confusion, trying to find our way in life. That we can come to the light so we can see our world as it truly is, so we can see ourselves as we truly are, so we can see the path that we're to take in this life that's going to lead us to true joy, peace, and fulfillment. And so, in the remaining verses of this passage, we see John declaring the coming of Jesus, the coming of the truth. And in verse 14, we see this statement, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That this Word was not just passed down to us. We understand it came to us in person, that God Himself came down to dwell with us and to commune with us. We read in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds." And that's the thing, He speaks to us through His Son, that God Himself has come down to us, to dwell among us, to declare Himself to us, declare to us, and to be to us the truth that we all need to hear, to be to us the truth that will set us free. That John testifies that he and his fellow apostles saw the glory of the Lord Jesus, and they recognized it was the glory of Him who was the only begotten of the Father. That they recognized Him to be God. That they were close to Him, and there was no mistaking who He was. And they saw that He was had the glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. And you really think about it, those two things, grace and truth, are the two things this world needs the most. And it's the two things in this world that are in the shortest supply. Grace and truth. And God is the God of truth. God is the God of all grace. And He has sent His Son, the truth, to us. And He has sent Him to us by His grace. He has sent Him to us so that we might experience His grace. And it's because of who Jesus is, because of all that He is, we need to embrace, accept, and receive Him. And we see that that's what John did, and his whole life was changed as a result. He calls us now to do the same. We see what he says in verse 12. He says, "As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." And it's the truth that by receiving Jesus by faith, by believing on Him who is the truth, we can pass from darkness to light and from death to life. That we can be born from above. We can be adopted into God's family. As it speaks of in Colossians 1 verse 13, we can be delivered from the power of darkness and be translated in the kingdom of His dear Son. In Christ we can have redemption. In Christ we can have the forgiveness of our sins. We can be set free from the penalty of sin. We can be set free from its power. And that's what John the Apostle experienced, and that's what he wants all of us to experience as well, through receiving Jesus, the truth, by faith. But sadly, as we read in verses 10 and 11, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not." That He said, that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, but yet the world did not know Him, did not have a relationship with Him. That He came unto His own, to His own people, and they would not receive Him. And we ask, well, why would they not receive Jesus? Why would they not receive the One who was the truth? And you think, with the scribes and the Pharisees who spent their life studying the Scriptures, they, of anyone, should have been the ones to accept Him. But they were the ones who rejected Him. And so we ask, why did they do that? Why would they not receive Him? And why do so many still refuse to receive Jesus today? And we see the answer given by Jesus in John 3, verses 18 to 21. He says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And it is the thing, is that as sinners, that we don't like what the Word, the light, the truth reveals. That Jesus is Jesus Christ the righteous. And because He is righteous, He shows us as the sinners that we are. But the thing is, instead of accepting that truth that He shows about ourselves, instead of embracing Jesus as a Savior that we need to save us from our sins, so many reject the light and the truth. And they do all they can to snuff out that light and truth. We see this in John chapter 8. After Jesus had made His declaration in verse 32, He says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. But we see in verse 37, He says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. He says that to His own people, children of Abraham, whom He came to, whom should have been the first to receive Him. We see verse 38, He says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. And so He's trying to lay out their spiritual condition. But we see, instead of accepting anything He had to say, they protest Jesus' insinuations. But we see that He repeated them and built upon them in order to try to confront them with the truth that they needed to hear. We see verse 39, Then Ashton said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye are Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. They said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. The ear of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. And so we see here, Jesus was pretty blunt and rough with them. But we want to understand that he's trying to get through to them. He, in love, is giving them the truth they needed to hear. But sadly, as we are going to see by their response to him, that they managed shortly to prove every last word that he said of them was true. They wouldn't believe the truth from God that he shared. They would not accept him from the truth. Instead, they acted like the devil was their father. They turned to lies and murder in order to silence him who was the truth. And so, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to consider their actions in trying to silence the truth. But today, we want to recognize this pattern that repeats itself whenever the truth of God, the truth that is Jesus Christ, comes to any individual, to any people group. That some, like John, embrace Jesus as the truth, and their life is forever changed for the better. But there are others, like the scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus' day, who refuse the truth, who fight against it, and desperately seek to eradicate it from this world and from their memory, so that they can remain comfortable and safe in the refuge of lies that they have built for themselves. Being deceived by the devil, they hold on to their sin. They're engulfed by the darkness, and they die without hope when abundant eternal life was in their grasp. And so, it is a question that we all each have to ask and consider. Which one am I? Which response am I going to give to the truth? And for us that have received Jesus, we who have by faith accepted Him as the truth that sets us free, I think it's something that we need to bow our heads in humble gratitude for what we have received through faith in Him. But yet as well, we also need to recognize that there's many who have not done so. Many who are missing out on the unspeakable blessings we enjoy and too often take for granted. That they, we talked about last week, they built for themselves a refuge of lies. They think it's going to protect them. And it's no protection at all. It's going to be swept away. And so, for their sakes, in this pivotal moment in our nation's history, we need now more than ever to continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. Tell them that God has placed His cornerstone in Zion, a sure foundation, that we need to put our faith and trust in Him. That we need to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. We need to proclaim the truth that will set people free. And like Jesus, we no doubt may receive a rough response. But we recognize that the truth of Jesus is the only hope this world has. And so we need to continue to faithfully share. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank You for sending Your Son. We just thank You for the love that You showed to us, the grace in doing so. And Lord, we just we thank You for bringing people that would share it with us so that we could hear it. And thank You for sending probably several different people over time to work in our hearts and water the seed that was planted. And Lord, we just recognize there's many that haven't trusted in You, that are turned from You. We just pray You'd help us to, You've maybe been working in their hearts, they've been turning from it, but help us to continue to be used of You to water the seed in their life so that they might come to know the truth as well. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm going to turn to one last hymn before we conclude. It's number 101. Now let's leave Thy Throne, number 101. Thou didst leave Thy throne and Thy kingly crown when Thou camest to earth for me.